The epistle and gospel today, the epistle is alluding to the fact that Christ is merging together, uniting the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the gospel is pointing to the seven sacraments, which become a fountain of life, giving grace to us. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Dear faithful, in our fasting, we understand more completely the difficulty between the body, which needs the physical nourishment, and the spirit, which is more easily nourished when the body has been mortified. Christ here sees to the physical needs of the people who have neglected them to come to him. They sought him, neglecting their bodies. Later in this chapter of St. John, our Lord tells them that he himself is the bread of heaven, the bread which came down from heaven like manna in the desert. And all along, Christ is giving for our physical needs, but to point us to our spiritual needs. A very good practice it would be in the season of Lent, if one cannot make it to the daily masses that are offered, one should read the masses of the day. Lent, the season of Lent, is an exalted time, an important time for our spiritual welfare and our advancement, and the Church has prepared proper masses for each day in Lent. Each day having a specific message to us, most normally, again, combining the Old and the New Testaments, showing our Lord was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the fulfillment of the Old Law and the establishment of the New Law. And he shows in the Old Testament very beautifully a prefigurement of all the things of the New Testament. He gives us in that all we need in these messages to know God has called us to a new way of life, and we are to live it now. Read and listen to what he is saying. I am the bread of life. I am that which nourishes you. I am that which feeds you. And I give myself to you. This past Friday, in the third week of Lent, the message was of water. God provides for our life. Bread and water are the basic needs to sustain life. True bread and true water. What a wonder this day and age. Water is commonly toxic. Our bread has no life. God wants to feed you, to nourish your body and soul. And so on Friday, we examine the Israelites going through the desert, preparing to revolt against Aaron and Moses, demanding water in the desert. They're going to revolt and turn over new leadership. And so Moses and Aaron went and prayed before the Ark of the Covenant, prayed before God. And God said, strike the rock and water shall flow forth. And so they did. And they struck the rock twice. Moses struck the rock twice. And in that doubt, God said, you will not lead the chosen people into the promised land. Then in the gospel for that day, our Lord, in his exhaustion, he stops by the well of Jacob and speaks with the Samaritan woman. He says to her, give me to drink. She comments that it's strange for him to ask a Samaritan woman, him a Jew, to ask a Samaritan woman for something to drink. This was not normal. They wouldn't interact with each other. His response is, if you had known, if you could see the truth, you would not treat the situation so. No, you would come to me asking for the truth, and I would give it to you. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou didst know the gift of God, and who he is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou perhaps wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He continues later, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but the water that I will give him shall become in him a fountain of water, springing up unto life everlasting. This is our calling, to unite to Christ, to use his strength, to go into the world, to lead others to Christ. St. Augustine says, living water is so called because it flows in such a manner that it is united with its fount or source from which it bubbles up. That water is called dead, which is divided and cut off from its source. Grace, therefore, is called living water because it is never separated from its fount, which is the Holy Ghost. Christ calls us to understand we are to ascend to a higher way of life. We are to unite with him. In union with him, we can do all things. We can overcome all things. Very beautifully, the baptismal fonts are in the back of the church to show this is the beginning of entrance into that way of life, into the church. Entrance into the mystical body of Christ, being united with him. The mystical body of Christ, the church, leads us through this desert and provides for us a fountain of living water, grace through the sacraments. In the crucifixion, for which our Lord was preparing his apostles, is the rock struck in the desert. All grace flows from the crucifixion, from this act of Christ on the cross. And he knew what he would do. Throughout all of time, he saw all of you here present today. And he knew exactly his work upon your soul and what you need to nourish your soul. He desires to speak with you. He desires to give you all that you need. Christ, being the good shepherd, leads us to this, that we may slake our thirst for our souls. He wants us to live. He gives us the bread of life, which has come down from heaven. He gives us living water. Come to him. Lent is the time for our spiritual advancement and progress. We are to progress to Christ. Move to him in imitation of him. Work to practice virtue in your life. In imitation of Christ, he gives you the strength to do it. Move to him in relationship with him. We must know God. We must know Christ. We must work at knowledge of him, to love him and to be with him, to live with him. This means learning to trust in him. He leads you through a desert and dry and dirty places. He does not abandon you. He has already gone before you so that you may know the way. Look to Christ. He is the way. He works these miracles before the Jews that they may believe, that they may see he has power over all of creation. He said to them, I can raise the seed of Abraham from these stones. He could literally do all things. St. Augustine says, the miracles which our Lord Jesus Christ wrought are in very deed divine works, and they admonish the human mind to understand God from visible things. For after all, he is not such a substance as can be seen with the eyes. His miracles, by which he rules the whole world and ministers to every creature, have by their frequency become commonplace, so that scarcely anyone thinks it worthwhile to attend to the wonderful, yes, the stupendous works of God in any grain of seed. We don't behold the common things of every day, of all of creation, all of nature. It's so normal for us. The wonders of the world don't lead us to think of God very often now. St. Augustine continues, for the governing of the whole world is a greater miracle than the feeding of 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread. Yet no one marvels at the one, but at the other. We are to be led to walk in understanding the truths of Christ, to see the world in that light of the faith, to understand all things have a purpose and an end. See all things with the eyes of the faith, that we may be fed and nourished, that we may drink and quench our thirst, not only of body, but of soul. We do this in the season of Lent by hearing the Word of God, showing from the Old and New Testament He has a care for our souls in time of desolation. He provides for us. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.